This is Ozarks at Large. I'm inside the Furman Garner studio, and we have, between the four of us, people who know classic rock and roll. We were talking about age just before we started this conversation. We all realize that we're quite familiar with classic rock and roll, and John Jetter, conductor and music director of Fort Smith Symphony. The reason we're talking about classic rock and roll
is we have a very special concert coming up Saturday evening, April 21st at 7:30 p.m. at the Arkansas Best Corporation Performing Arts Center in Fort Smith. It is the Fort Smith Symphony's History of Rock and Roll concert. It is a subscription concert. It is a collaborative project, even though it's part of our subscription season, with UA Fort Smith. I believe it is the first concert of its kind ever, of all time in the world, that a symphony orchestra has done. Now, some people might be thinking, wait. I heard the Beatles tribute band last year with a symphony. Yes, there are tribute concerts with symphony orchestra. There are evenings of symphony rock. Some are very successful. But this is an originally composed history of rock and roll from the blues to the very present. It includes narration, and our narrator is going to be Mayor Sandy Sanders, and I don't think anything's ever been done like it. There'll be probably close to 200 people on stage at some point, and in order to do a project like this, one needs someone who is a fantastic composer, someone who will take the ball and run with it. In this case, someone who takes the ball and runs with it and runs through the goalposts and keeps going out of the stadium. And then, where's the second stadium? Right. And you want someone who will do that. And Don Bailey has been the director of jazz studies for how long?
Oh, quite some time.
Quite some time. A million years. Yes. And he's the perfect guy for this. And we had a similar experience a number of years ago doing a history of jazz. And we're just thrilled that he accepted the challenge. And he's got his peeps together and has brought together a terrific group of folks to work with us, including Gary Hutchison, who's here also in the studio.
Well, Don, let me ask you, when you are given the contract, the creative contract to, encapsulate the history of jazz or encapsulate the history of rock and roll, do you start at the beginning? Do you create this chronologically?
I never pick up a pencil until I research. So I researched for a lot of hours. The history of rock, who were the iconic bands. It was really tough to come up with just the bands that I did because there are so many great bands. When it came down to push coming to shove, I went with record sales and with popularity. So do you go Van Halen or Led Zeppelin? Well, Zeppelin's sales were higher, and so I went with them. So that was one of the challenges. But I researched everything I could, and I wrote notes. I wrote a whole probably 300 pages of notes, honestly, on the bands, figuring out what their hits were and why they were hits and where they were popular and how their careers went as bands. And any resurgence of popularity like Journey and people like that. Then I started writing the music. What I did after that is listen to what I would consider their top two or three hits, and I studied those hits, taking copious notes on what was happening musically.
So you're deconstructing those hits.
I'm sorry?
You're deconstructing those hits?
Yeah, I was totally analyzing them and writing down the chord progressions they used, how they liked to work their melodies, what kind of rhythms they liked, even lyrics, because I wrote a lot of the lyrics to this thing as well. And then came up with what I considered a good snapshot of that band, and using those elements that they used in their music, wrote original songs.
Now, I know what happened with the with your previous collaboration when it was jazz, and you were taking it from Louis Armstrong in New Orleans all the way up. People thought you had played specific songs
true.
Been composed by Charlie Parker or someone.
That's true.
And that's not the case.
That's not the case.
And that's the same here?
Well, first, yes, it is, and I'll take it as a compliment. If we can sound as much like the band as possible, and yet it'd be totally original. And I was really careful to make sure that I stayed far enough away from the original material, but close enough, to not get sued copyright-wise, but and yet close enough to stay far enough away to where it was legal and I wasn't really stealing their ideas, and close enough that it would still sound like them.
Before we began our conversation, Don and Gary were in here kind of practicing for some of the things we're going to hear in a minute. And Don was standing up, Gary was sitting down, and Don would say, well, do some Hendrix. Now, what about Carlos Santana? Mm-hmm. Now, what about Lennon McCartney? All you're being asked to do, Gary, is to evoke memories and emotions of every great guitarist in rock history. That's all you're being asked to do.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a student of all them, so. Yeah. And being I teach privately, that keeps me in touch with a lot of different styles. But all the classic guys are such a big influence on me, so picking a little part of them is no problem.
All right. And let's explain what you have here with you in the Furman Garner studio.
I have a Fender Stratocaster, and I've got a pedal board which has some distortion and wah effects on it, and a little bitty tube amp.
All right. Well, can we talk about some of the just snippets we'll hear?
Well, we start the thing off with the blues because that's where it all began. And it starts with that, I got a problem, and here's a solution kind of a thing. So it sounds something like this, 2, 3, 4. Turn of the century. Gonna give me that poor boy sandwich. Wow, that poor boy sandwich is mine. Now repeat the same problem. Gonna give me that poor boy sandwich. Yeah. That poor boy sandwich is mine. But you gotta shine some shoes first. But before I give me that sandwich, yeah, brother. Wow, I got me some shoes to shine. Now Count Basie comes along in the 30s and injects the blues into his big band arrangements in Kansas City, sounding like this. It's the same blues. Now the horns play over that. So I wrote a tune called Jazz and the Blues, which combines the two styles. Cool. That's good. All right, we're going to move it on. I'm directing Gary to when to start and stop. I feel kind of big when I do that.
Now, I feel like I'm watching Bob Wills. You know, that's what, just, no, okay, Playboys, we're done there.
Well, I'm getting good at that directing thing. So, all right, and I'm skipping a lot of the genres because there are five precursors to rock, or five or six, blues, country, and so forth. We're just going to do some of the headlines. So we did blues and jazz. Elvis came along with a bunch of other folks. Elvis happened to get the name, but other folks were involved as well. Took the same blues and did this kind of style to it. The same blues. Go ahead. Something like this. Well, I'm moving to the music and shaking it to the beat. I said I'm moving to the music and shaking it to the beat. You know, I'm feeling kind of, oh, yeah, I can't stop my feet. Same blues. Gonna give me that poor boy sandwich. It's the same thing. Poor boy sandwich is mine. Yeah. So it takes the same AAB theme. I got a problem, a solution. In Elvis's case, it wasn't a problem. It was just a situation. Moving to the music and shaking it to the beat. Feeling kind of crazy, just can't stop my feet. It was the whole spirit of rebellion that the teenagers coming out and wanting to go crazy on the dance floor and see a rock icon up there move around and yell and scream. Nice looking guy, plays the guitar fairly well, sings well. And so that caught on like wildfire, and of course giving him the title King of Rock. All right, so moving down the road to the 60s, because there's a lot of other things in the symphony as well, but we'll move it to some of the highlights. Beatles came along and changed the world. That innocent sound. Can I talk over him?
Yeah.
I'd like to do that so that I become more important for the moment. So the Beatles have these simple guitar licks that most guitar kids could play, kids picking up the guitar. But the thing about them is their lyrics were so innocent. I want to hold your hand and falling in love. And it was boy
she loves me, right, yeah.
The choir boy look with the mop heads and the ties and so forth. Well, that all changed through the 60s and later on with Sgt. Pepper's. And their writing got more creative, and they grew as writers, composers, and the rest was history, the late Beatles stuff. Moving into also still the Beatles era, the beach sound off the West Coast. All about surfing. I wrote a couple of Beach Boys tunes, Beach Party and Surf's Up. And I've got some Beach Boys coming in to sing that. So, and as John mentioned before, we have a lot of singers coming in. I think there's 35, actually, by the time it's over. Every style from bluegrass. Actually, I'm singing that one.
Yeah, that's right.
From bluegrass all the way through to, you know, I got Hendrix and Metallica and all those other styles. Okay, so into the late 60s, of course, you can't avoid the Rolling Stones. What I did with the Stones is took some of their licks that were popular. Here's the lick that I wrote. Keep that going. The reason I wrote that is because it resembles their lick. Do their lick now. Got that same feel. So to the casual listener, it sounds Stones, even right. though it's different enough to be, again, legal. So so that was one of the things I did, is take some of the licks, some of the sounds that were very familiar. People were familiar. They associated immediately to that group and did that to it. Guitar Hero is what I'm calling the next one, because Jimi Hendrix probably, inarguably, was a role model for more guitarists in the 20th century in rock style than anybody else.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. You like to use effects, distortion, wah pedals. And he would use all kinds of body contortions when he played, which Gary can do. And if you're there,
he's doing them right
it.
Now. You can't. Yeah, yeah. You can't see them. But
you're
not
picking this up.
Yes.
There you go.
You'll have to come to the show to see those contortions.